So you can take your Bibles tonight and you can go to Psalm chapter 3. Psalm 3 verse 4. Psalm 3 verse 4. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on how God hears us. God hears us. He listens. Which is pretty remarkable when you think about it. That God would want to listen to us. But he does. Psalm 3, verse 4. Says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. Right? God hears us. This is what we will consider tonight, right? The word Selah means consider this or think on these things, right? And so whenever God uses that word in his Bible, he's using it for emphasis. So he's emphasizing the fact that when we cry to him, he will hear us. He wants us to be aware of that, right? So God hears us, right? He's listening. His hand up to his ear. He's waiting for us to say something. Right? Go to 2 Kings chapter 6. So we're going to look at a couple examples tonight where God heard the cry of his people. 2 Kings 6, verse 15. And the cool things that God did for the people who cried out to him. 2 Kings 6, verse 15. So this is a record of Elisha. And it says, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early, so Elisha's servant was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? He got up early in the morning and found they were surrounded by a giant army. What are we going to do? Verse 16. And he, Elisha, answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that what? Be with them, right? They that be with us that are on our side are more than this whole army you see before us. Now he had him and his servant, and they were surrounded by a huge army. Those servants probably going, okay, I don't see how that works. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed. He cried out, he prayed, and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Speaking of his servant. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And so Elisha has this servant's eyes opened, and he can see what God is doing to protect them. Right? That God has, you know, revealed to this man that, hey, I've got you covered. Even though there's a big army out there, look at what I've got for you. Verse 18, and when they came down to him, the army came down, Elisha prayed unto the Lord, again, crying unto God. And he said, and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he, God, smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Right? So twice, Elisha prays, right? Which is crying out to God, asking God for something, talking to God. And each time, God hears him, right? And does something awesome for him, right? Helps his servant to not be afraid by showing him, hey, I've got this place surrounded if anything goes down, right? And then when the army does approach, they're smote with blindness so that they would be ineffective. Go to chapter 20, 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 9. So Elisha cried out, and God heard him and did something awesome. He protected him. Second Kings chapter 20, verse 9. Sorry, verse 8. Let's start in verse 8. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing he hath spoken. So this is going to be the sign that you can trust God. Do you want the shadow to go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And the shadow being the shadow of the sundial, right? Do you want God to make this time go forward or go backward? That'll be the sign. And Hezekiah answered and said, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees, right? Time always goes forward, so if it moves forward, that's no big deal. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. Because time doesn't usually go backwards, guys. So that'll be something to see. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto who?
The Lord.
The Lord. And God said, I'm too busy for you. Time? I can't do the time thing. No. And he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Okay? So he turned back time as a sign for Hezekiah, right? Isaiah cried out, and God answered. 10 degrees is about 40 minutes, right? So he reversed the rotation of the earth by 40 minutes worth of time, which is pretty remarkable to think about. God did that for him. He cried out, and God answered him. Go to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. So God hears us. Exodus 15, verse 22. It says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. And they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. That's a long time to have no water. I bet they were thirsty. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. The water there, they finally found water, and they couldn't drink of it because it was so bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. It was so bitter, they named the place Bitterness. That's what happened. That's how bitter it was. I think the people were probably pretty bitter. Verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what are we going to drink? They complained, what are we going to drink? And he, Moses, cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, the word tree there is log, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Right? And so they had gone 3 days without water. That's a need, right? That's like on the verge of, you know, major health problems, not having water for 3 days. And they finally find the water and they can't drink it. And so Moses prays, throws a log in the water, because that's what God showed him to do, and they were able to drink the water. Right? God can change the circumstances when you have a need, whatever it might be. He hears you. So how is all of this possible, right? Well, there are three important keys to, you know, the records that we saw here all so far. And the first one is believing. Go to Matthew chapter 21. So if we're going to cry unto God, if we're going to ask God for something, there's a few things we have to keep in mind. Matthew 21, 22. Matthew 21, verse 22. It says, "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall what?
Receive."
Okay, so the first part is our request has to be made with believing, right? If we're going to ask God for something, we need to believe He's going to do it, right? If we don't believe God's going to hear us or do it, then what's the point in asking, right? So, step one, we've got to believe what we're asking for. Chapter 26, verse 39. The second key is that it has to be according to God's word. And that's a big one. It has to be according to God's word. Not your word, not what you want, but has to be according to what God wants for our lives. So Matthew 26, 39, this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, praying. "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Speaking of his crucifixion, right? Speaking of the suffering he was going to have to face. If it's possible, there's another way to do this other than that. Let's come up with a cool idea. "Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." Right? And that's the key. You know? Nevertheless, not what I want, but what do you want? Right? If it's possible, great. But not what I want, but what you want. Right? And so, if we're going to ask for God for something, it has to be according to His will. Right? To what God's word says. All right, go to 1 John chapter 3. All right, so there you go. It has to be according to God's word. So that means that we can't just say, you know, God, I want it to rain donuts for the rest of my life. Right? I mean, that sounds pretty awesome. And He did bring manna from heaven for Israel, so, you know, donuts aren't too far off. Right? But that's not exactly according to His word. Right? That's not something that's going to supply our need. It's just cool to have donuts. Right? So it has to be according to God's word. 1 John 3, verse 22. And the third key is here. It says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight," right? And so the third key is that we have to be in fellowship with God, right? If we're acting the fool all the time and then we say, "Hey God, are you going to help me out?" Right? We have to be in fellowship with God in order to receive things of Him, right? It says that whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. And that kind of goes hand in hand with it being according to His word, right? God does forgive us. We can get back in fellowship, and then God can take care of us. But if we're not in fellowship with God, then we can't expect to receive until we get back there, okay? So we have to get back in fellowship with God, all right? So those are the three keys to receiving things from God if we're going to cry out to Him and ask Him for stuff. Go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 14. Pretty simple stuff. So in these records, these men of God were doing those things. They believed God. They were asking for things that were according to His word, whether it was for their protection, whether it was for their survival, right? And they were doing God's word. They were in fellowship with him. 2 Chronicles 14:9. But the cool thing is that God wants to help us. He wants to hear from us. 2 Chronicles 14:9 says, "And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Maresha. Then Asa went out against them, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah and Maresha. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help." Right? It's no big deal for you to help. It's not a challenge. It's a simple thing for God to help. Right? And that's in the Word of God. It's a simple thing for God to help. He wants to help. "It is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on" what? "On thee. On thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee." Right? "And so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled." Right? And that's the attitude that we need to have. That it's a simple thing for God to help us, that he wants to help us, right? And as long as we keep those keys in mind, he's going to help us. Go to 2 Kings chapter 4, right? That's great believing, to say to God, "I know you will take care of me. I know this is what you want for my life." He hears us. 2 Kings 4, verse 1. And he can help us with our basic needs like he does in this record, right? He's our sufficiency. "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant my husband is dead." So her husband was a prophet. He worked with Elisha, and he passed away. "And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen." "You're going to take away my sons." "And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, Thy handmaid has not anything in the house except, save a pot of oil." The only thing I have left is a pot of oil, right? That's all I got. "Then he said, Go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, and borrow not a few. Get as many empty vessels as you can possibly get from all of your neighbors. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. Close yourself in your house. Don't let anybody see. And shall pour out into all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full." So when you fill up a vessel, put it aside and keep filling. "So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me another vessel. And they said unto her, There's not a vessel more." We don't have any more empty vessels. And the oil, what? Stayed. It stayed. So from this one tiny vessel of oil that they had, they fill up all of these other vessels. Why? Who cares? They've got a lot of oil. Don't spill it. It stains. Verse 7, "And she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt. and live thou and thy children off the of or off the rest. Okay? And so that was what her need was. Right? Her husband died. In this culture, that's who was providing for the family. She was going to be destitute. Her sons were going to be sold into slavery to pay the debt. That's not a good situation. But God provided for them, right? In a miraculous and unique way. But God was going to supply our needs. We just have to ask, right? We just have to ask. And in this case, they poured out this little bit of oil over and over and over again until they had what they needed to sell, and so that her sons wouldn't have to be sold. So God helps us, supplies our needs, whatever they might be. Go to Acts chapter 9, verse 36. So whatever it is that we might need in our lives, God wants to help us. He hears us. And we can't put him in a box, right? We can't say, well, that's not something God can do. Because God can do anything according to his word. Acts chapter 9, 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas, an unfortunate name. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was near to Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there, and they sent unto him two men, desiring that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Right, so they were really upset. This was a friend of theirs. Here are all the wonderful things that she made us. She was such a great person. But Peter put them all forth, sent them out, and kneeled down and prayed. Right? God heard him. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, presented her what? Alive. Alive. So God can heal us too, right? God can heal us too. One of the things that he can provide for us is our basic needs, food and money and shelter and the things we need to survive. And he can heal us too, right? He can deliver us from sickness, disease, and from death. Right? That's one of the things that we can ask God to do for us. And he will hear us, just like he heard Peter. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 23. Chapter 1, verse 23. And so we're going to see in this record that God can also give us wisdom. He can tell us the things that we need to know or to understand, right? Sometimes our need isn't physical, like we don't need healing. Sometimes our need isn't material. Sometimes our need is just to know what to do. What's the right decision? What's going to be best? Should I take that job? Should I make this move? Should I go do this? God can help us. Acts 1:23 says, and they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. Right? So they were choosing a replacement for Judas, who had recently hung himself or killed himself. Who's going to take his place? There were two good candidates, apparently. So they asked God. They didn't debate it amongst themselves. They didn't list out a pros and cons list of each person. They asked God. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Right? And so they had a big decision to make. Who was going to be the new number 12? And they asked God. Right? They asked God. Show us who it'll be. Yeah. And God provided. We're going to close in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. So God hears us. And that's an amazing thing to think about. Right? That's an amazing thing to consider, like it said in Psalm. Think about that. Think about the fact that God hears you. And that he wants to hear from you. Just the fact that he wants to is incredible. He created the heaven and the earth that he wants to hear from you. And he wants to answer you. He wants to provide. He wants you to cry out and for him to be able to help. 1 John 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, according to his word, he what? Heareth us. This is the confidence that we need to have. That if we ask him for something according to his word, he will hear us. Verse 15, and if we know that he hear us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We know he's going to answer. Right? We know he will hear us, and we know he will answer. That is the confidence that we should have in God, because he wants to. We just have to have the confidence that that's what's going to happen.